Luke chapter 9. Now you may say to yourself, what is this pastor going to do today? I'm going to take you to Luke chapter 9. Rhonda said something about a week ago. She said, she was talking to Mike, and she said to Mike, and you can correct me if I'm not saying it right, that the way the messages have been going, and once I got to this obedience message, she had a sense in herself, okay, we're coming to the end of something. Like, what more is there to share? Like, the direction he's been given, and now we're here at obedience, that it started to look to you like we were coming to a chapter, a serious final chapter. And, I sought the Lord about that. And I said, God, well, we know that's, we all know that's real. But what does the new chapter look like? What does that start to feel like? And foundation for me right now is primary. And let me tell you what I mean by that. And my walk, and probably a lot of you guys walk in Christ, you see that there's a lot of different things that have come through the church. Name it, claim it. Some of them people would call it, just confess this, believe that, have faith in God. I love the what they call the name it, claim it, or the faith movement, because it saved my life, as well as a lot of you. But something I've learned, I don't think it's a biblical thing, I think it's a thing of man, that everybody has a tendency, all of us, if we're checked by God being in a place, we go to the extreme opposite side, and then eventually find our way back. So you become so self-righteous that you start judging everybody, and think you better than everybody almost, until you fall on your face again, then you kind of find your way back to that place where, okay. And God showed me that scenario. He said, and you've heard me say it, if you throw a drowning person a rock, they'll grab it. You know, it's that need to just yank our way so far in things. And so what happened in the faith movement is people went from believing the lie that God wanted them to suffer to going to the opposite extreme of believing that God just wanted to give them anything they wanted, regardless of how they were living and who they were and how they stood. Just confess it, put it on your refrigerator, keep quoting the scriptures, and eventually no change on your part, no maturity on your part, no surrender on your part. Just keep saying magic scriptural words and it shall be yours. A lot of us have tried that. It didn't work. And you either were going to go back totally to the suffering side of things or find the balance in the middle where God and you meet. Because listen to what I'm about to say. Look at me. Extreme sin and extreme self-righteousness, it's all flesh. The place where God meets you is the place that even in your falls and your stumbles and your shortcomings, God is still walking with you. When you extreme, you still leave God, even if you're trying to be extremely good. Did you catch that? Even that, if you're still trying to work it out in your own flesh, you still leave in God. It's that perfect place that God meets you and you meet God that you see things happen. And listen to what I'm saying, listen to my words. Look at me, Rhonda. And you see it consistently. And what I want to try to get across to us as we bring this series to a close is God doesn't want you blessed in spotty places here, there, hit, miss, like it's a lotto game. like you hit some, you miss some. You get better at it and you may pick the numbers a little more often, but you still know you ain't going to win most of the time. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? God has not groomed us to have life more abundantly sometime. He didn't say, well, my promises are yay and amen on Monday. So, if all the promises of God are yes and amen, are you listening to Pastor? And all of your prayers have not been yes or and amen, then we have to understand where the promises of God and us meet so that everything is then yes and amen. Because our interpretation of his promise or our manipulation of his promise or all our overestimation of his promise is not his responsibility, only that to bring you back to where you need to be. God's primary role in our lives that I've seen is to constantly bring us back to the place of righteousness, right standing. Got it? Righteousness. Christ came that he may restore righteousness to us, right standing with God. Right standing with God, like I said, you can be out of it by not obeying. You can be out of it by over obeying. You can be out of it either side. Somebody say the balance. The balance. So, with that said, let's go to Luke chapter 9. I did tell you that, right? Okay. Raise your hands to the Lord right now. Say, Lord, I am ready to receive by your Spirit the word today from your throne. I shall not be just excited and encouraged, but I expect to be seated, to be deep rooted, and to be changed by the truth that I receive today by your Holy Spirit. Speak through that man in front of me and use his mouth and speak to his spirit exactly what I need today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. I can go on and on, but I didn't get super, super far past this. Who's he? It says, then he called his 12 disciples. Who's the he? The Messiah, Jesus, Yahshua, Christ. He called his disciples and did what? Did what? So that means before then, they didn't have it. But he gave it to them now. Let's go back a little bit of what we went over for the past couple of weeks. The oil. He wanted to make sure they were filled with the Spirit. He wanted to make sure they were, you know, long-suffering enough to know, don't just come kind of ready, but come with endurance and patience and steadfastness, that if I don't respond as soon as you think I should, you're still ready. Look at somebody and say, we have to stay ready. That's very important. If you think of the scripture says, be vigilant, be sober, he's saying, vigilant. Stay ready. Don't get lulled into a false sense of security. He who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. All of those scriptures are about readiness. being alert, paying attention. Stay ready. Then after that, he comes to them, he goes to the next story, and he talks about the wealth. He distributes to each of his these three people his wealth with the intention of seeing if they were ready to manage the kingdom and his happiness. Listen to what I'm about to say to you, because what I'm about to say to you is real powerful. And I want you to do me the favor. I want you to stand up while I say this, because I wanted to hit you and go all the way down to your feet. He called them to see if he can be trusted. Let me not say them, you. And deposited a level of wealth to each one of them, you, to see if you would be faithful with it. Then after time and delay again, he came back to see what you did with it, that wealth. And then on the third part, stay with me, then he says, well, you haven't fed me, you haven't clothed me, you didn't see me naked and cover me, you didn't take me in. What did he do? He prepared you spiritually, he prepared you financially, and then he said, I need you now to have all of this equipment so that you can go, because I'm going to give you power now. Did you catch it? Spirit first, material next, power now. Did you receive that?
Yes.
Sit down if you can. Yes. Whew. We're talking about the power now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes.
Yes. Preparation for his work. Tested you to see if you stay ready in the spirit. Tested you financially to see if you'll be obedient with that. Now that I've tested you in that, I've given you the opportunity to feed and take care of mine. Thank God for our pantry. Now I want to fill you with power to go out and subdue and cast out demons and heal the sick. God showed me something during this series. He said, you know why you are a strategy person, a structure person? He said, because look at how I flow. I read those scriptures over and over my whole life and never saw strategy. He called them together and he gave them, what's the word? Power. Now. I need you to stay ready, because this message is going to be pretty intense. I need your whole spiritual focus. So James family, you cannot stay in your notes. Stay right here. Get your notes later. Listen back. What I'm about to drop is going to be some heavy life-changing stuff. Stay focused. Stay focused. All of y'all on me. He called them together and he gave them power, or the word is dunamis. Those of you know that, you'll understand dunamis. What we need to understand is the power he gave them. I'm going to give you the description from the Hebrew or the Greek. I'm going to give you the description from the Greek, but I need you to understand that what I'm about to describe is he reinvested, which he something that Adam didn't even say the scripture had. Adam was made in his image and likeness, but I have not found a scripture that it says he gave Adam dunamis. Come on now. He gave him wisdom to name all the animals. Obviously, he didn't get enough because he didn't stay away from the tree. But he didn't, I never saw anywhere where God gave any human being into noun dunamis. What is it? It says literally or figuratively, special miraculous power. That's just the first sentence of the description. Wait a minute. Let me make sure you're getting it, because maybe you're not getting it. Who's his disciples in here? How many disciples we got up in here? He called you and gave you miraculous power. No. He called you and gave you the power to perform miracles. Not power just to receive miracles. This is the power to perform miracles. Because are you catching it? Because as you get to it, he says, and then he said, go out and heal the sick. So he gave them his power to do the miraculous, to perform miracles, and send them out. Why is that so important? Because you see in the Old Testament that he picked certain people to have those kind of powers and go out and do it. But it wasn't to the masses. It was to the specific individuals. He's now calling together those who are his and giving that into all of them. But what makes you a disciple? Well, you went through those first lessons and you got them down. Many are called, few are chosen. Who's feeling the spirit of what's happening right now? Come on, you can give God a shout or whatever you need to. This is serious. Usually by implication of a miracle itself. That means Jesus, help me get through this, Lord. That means he gave you miraculous power in the form of a miracle. Basically, he performed a miracle to give you that miraculous power that you can use it. It's not just a spoken word. It's just not a figure of speech. In other words, if you were missing an arm and a new arm grew in, you would say, that's a miracle. Yeah, well, if you're dead in the spirit and subject to death, and separated from God, and he heals you and saves you and redeems you and gives you the power to do miracles, that is better than an arm growing back. Something going on right here. That's why I said pay attention. Something's going on. There's a stirring in the spirit here that I want everybody to catch. See, God showed me, he said, I didn't just give you the ability to say things and confess them. I, by the power through a miracle, imparted to you the power of the miraculous. Now you understand why I couldn't get off that first paragraph. Watch this. Usually by an implication of a miracle itself, ability, abundance, meaning, might, strength, violent, mighty, wonderful working power, you know. So people sing those songs, there's power, power, and wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. What they don't understand is, yes, but it's not in the blood. It's in you. Because of the blood, not in the blood. In you. Because of the blood. Kenneth Copeland told a story one time. This man went to this man. He said, that thing don't work. That stuff don't work. He said, what do you mean? It definitely works. He said, I don't know that stuff. That don't work. He said, I went to a man. He had a demon. And I looked at him. I said, there's power in the blood. And the man jumped on me and almost beat me to death. And he said, but what is saying is power in the blood mean? He said that that's like a cop coming up to you and pointing to his gun and says, bullets in this gun. That don't mean nothing till you do like this. Saying it's power in the blood, that's cute in a song. But that don't move the devil. That ain't a command. Oh, you didn't catch what I just said. That wasn't spoken with no authority. Okay, it's power in the blood. He knows that. What you telling him, he don't know. Cease and desist in the name of Jesus because of this power is different. So here's it goes. Here we go. We start breaking it down now. Strength, power, and ability. Inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or a thing exerts and push forth. So, it's a power of excellence, moral power, excellence of soul, the power and influence which belongs to the rich and wealthy. Are you listening to this?
Oh, yeah.
Power and resource arising from numbers. Want to put 1,000 to flight, 2 will put 10,000 to flight. Are you listening to me? Power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, and host. We didn't even get to the rest of it. He called you and gave you power. Dunamis. A miracle, power put in you by the act of a miracle. How you feeling? Okay, ready? That's just the beginning. I don't know if you could take much more. He called them and he gave them power and
authority.
See, all of this stuff that's covered in power, we didn't even get to authority yet. Let me make sure you're still on the boat with me. Everything we just described in this power, armies, hosts, authority. I got to read this stuff again. Strength, ability, inherent power residing in by virtue, power of influence that belongs to the rich and wealthy. Well, this is what he gave them wealth. He gave them wealth and said, let me see what you do with it. The wealth of the sinner belongs to the just. All of those things that we sleep on in the scripture, here it is in just that one word. But he said, power consisting or resting upon armies, forces, and hosts. So when he says now an authority, authority of what? Authority over the devil. Authority over all his hosts and stuff and wealth and everything he gave you. You didn't catch it. Me putting a bunch of money in, I could go put $50 million in a bank account. If I don't give you the dunamis over that account, it means nothing. You have to have the authority to go use it.
Yes.
He just said, I gave you wealth, armies, resources, strength by miracle, and now authority to go use it.
Amen.
Access. I put you on the account as a co-signer. Help yourself.
Amen.
I don't know if I could preach any more of this. I'm about to lose it over here. This message is getting me tired. So power and authority. Exousia. Ready? Almost the same, but so different in the sense of ability to use all the stuff he gave you first in power. Here's now the authority. Privilege. Don't come to me with white privilege no more.
Come on.
When you got this privilege.
Amen.
It's the Stop telling me about white privilege this, white privilege that, when you got this privilege right here.
Amen.
And ain't using it. Or are not using it. How, is that better English? Watch this now. Privilege, force, capacity, competency. So you know how to use it. Freedom, mastery, magistrate, superhuman, potentate, token of control, that's cosigner, delegated influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, strength. We didn't even get past the first two words of the sentence. I'm reading from the King James, and I'm reading from the Strong's, yes. But it gets deeper. Not finished the definition yet. Ready? Ready? Strap in. I'm going to wait till you're finished reading and looking at your stuff. I told you, I need your attention. You can listen to the tape, listen to the message and do your research later. Waiting on you, Rhonda. Pay attention. Pay close attention. Let your spirit marinate. Power of choice. The liberty to do as one pleases. That means you can take it and go screw your life up royally. Ready for the next one? You've been given leave or permission. No, you're not catching this. Just in those first two, he said, now I've called you and give you power, and I'm not micromanaging you. I'm not standing over you and telling you what to do. You can do whatever you good and well please with that power. That's why you find those people who go into witchcraft, or those people going to psychic reading, and those people that go into all these astrologies and all kind of other stuff, and they're accurate sometime and dead on, because they got with God, they got the power, and they took it, and they decided to use it to their own demise if they want to. Well, if God, I don't understand. God, like, I gave you the power. You're free to do what you want. But hopefully you choose to do the right thing. Ready? Physical and mental power. You got authority to take over. You got the authority given to you to take charge over even the fears and the thoughts that try to suck you down.
Amen.
You got physical and mental power.
Amen.
The ability or strength with which one is endued, which he either possesses or exercises. You got that? The power of authority or influence, right and privilege. You ready? You ready? The power of rule of government. Well, the government this and the government that, and that's why we got to vote this person in and vote that person out. No, or you could just use this. The power of him whose will and command must be submitted by others and obeyed universally. Authority over mankind. You're not listening. Specifically, the power of judicial decisions, of authority to manage domestic affairs, are you looking at this? Are you listening to this? And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. But the last one I want to put is the number 8. It says, the sign of regal authority, a crown. We just got to power and authority. He called us unto him and gave us power and authority. Say, I have power and authority. Now, I hope you're not just going to listen to this message and not go home and study this stuff. But Bereans were more righteous than the most of them because they went home and looked up to see the things Paul said were true. You're not supposed to listen to me and just say, oh, Pastor said I got authority and not go look it up. It's going, listen to me. It's going to work for me.
It's going to work for me.
Because I've studied it. I've studied to show myself approved. And I believe what I've read and what I've seen. So me preaching it and making you happy ain't going to change a doggone thing in your life. It is now your responsibility to take ownership of what I'm sharing with you.
Yes.
Now, he gave you the lessons to learn as we went through the beginning of this message. And now he's saying, I'm giving you authority, power, and authority. The power, the dunamis, and the authority, the exousia, to access that power.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
That's right. Amen.
You with me? But one thing I'm learning about the Lord in these kind of scriptures doesn't stop there. He then gives you instruction on what he wants you to do with it.
Yes.
And this is where the church can get off in their prosperity confessions. They think, now this is mine to do as I please. And that's what he said. You have that's what the breakdown said. You have the authority to do what you please, but I have specific instruction for you.
Yes.
Over all devils and to cure disease. We're going to walk through that. Let's be honest. When you hear me talking about you have power and authority, and you're shouting and said hallelujah and threw your hands up, what's the first thing your mind went to? And you don't have to try to lie to me, I already know. So now there's some things in my life I'm going to use this power and authority to fix. Some financial issues I'm straightening out now. Some people that are out of line, I'm just going to pray them into submission today. Right away, our mind went to, how do I use that to benefit me? Tell me I'm wrong. Not one hand. I knew it. Because that's the first thing I did. And God said, there's more. Remember what I said, those gifts, when he's trusted to you, they're not yours. They're entrusted to you. That power is given to you. And we have to mature, all of us saints, that when we find out about these gifts and powers, that we don't immediately go to self. That should not be our first response.
Amen.
Our first response would be, Lord, how do I serve you with those?
Amen.
What do I do with it? Seek ye first the kingdom, all those things will be added. You know the desires of your heart, God knows, because he put them there.
Yeah.
I found in my walk, tell me if you'll bear witness, that the things that I prayed the hardest for and searched God and badgered God about the most seem to take the longest to come to pass.
Yes.
And the things I just laid before him and forgot about are the things that he just pops up with.
Yes.
Maybe we should figure something out by that. Lay it before him, walk away. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added. He said, right standing with me is where I give you this power for. I'm giving you power to my kingdom so you can seek me on how to serve me. How to be used by me. How to change lives for me. And all that other desires you have in you, I'll put those there. I'll bring them to pass without your interference. I don't need you helping me out. I need you doing what I tell you to do. That's how you help him out. So I'm realizing now more and more and more and more and more, God, you've given me these gifts for a reason. I won't go into details, but Jerrica called me last week and they had a problem pressing, and if she wants to share it, I'll let her share it. And she called me up, and it was a very serious thing in the family. And she called for prayer. And after listening a little while, I said, in my spirit, I heard the Lord say, I need you to intervene, not just pray. Don't just pray and hang up the phone. I need you to intervene. I need you to get into business. I said, give me the phone number. I'll take care of it. And there was a total expectation that it would not go that way. But God said to me it would, and it did. And God stepped in and he did something with what I would call miraculous. Somebody else may not, but I did. Changed somebody's life. Total stranger. And I got off the phone and I said, I hear you, Daddy. I'm not going to Florida to just pursue this or chase a dream of mine or anything else. I'm going to scatter seed wherever I go. I'm going to change life wherever I go. Once again, you confirm to me this is what I'm called to do. This is who I am. It's down in the core of me. I counsel. I minister. I distribute miracles. I change lives. I save lives. This is what I do. This is what I'm called to do. This is what I'm put on this earth to do. And no matter where you put me and what opportunities you give me that for that reason. So if I put you among celebrities, you're not to try to get with them. You try to get me to them. That's what I put you here for. You will be counsel. You will be the voice. You will be a word. This is why you're here. And then he showed me this. I've groomed you. I've trained you. I've prepared you. I got you ready. I've been telling you, I got to get out of these four walls. I got to get out of these four walls. God said, I'm pulling you out. But as you go, take Dunamis with you. Take Excelsior with you. Don't put those in the suitcase and put them on the side. Take those with you. Let those lead the way. I'm sending you there to change lives, to affect people, to touch people, to change lives, to that the miracle power of God will flow out of me to people, that my shadow passing will get people healed. This is what I'm doing this for. So all of a sudden, I went from being afraid of going and being nervous to being excited. I can't wait. When can I leave? I can't go. I got to go. I got to wait. I want to go. I go. Yeah, calm down. I'm working it out. I said to you last time, you don't know me anymore. The person you knew, that person's deceased. It's a new person now. It's a new life. And I got things to do. And and what I did not want to do is go forward with wounds and hurts and all that junk. And that's why I aired it out right here before the message started. Because I'm not going into the new phase of my life with any of that junk.
Amen.
Any of it.
Amen.
You don't know, man. This end word right here. You don't know. It's on. It's on. The enemy pushes, I push back harder. He hits me in the chin, I bust his jaw off. This is where I'm at right now. He's going to learn sooner or later. I just need to stop messing with him because it's just making him worse. And that's what he should be saying about you. Like he's going to go into his dunamis and associate bag and go crazy. Let me just stop bothering him.
Come on. Amen.
Let's wrap this up. You're learning something?
Yes.
Do you feel stirred on your insides?
Yes.
Authority over some devils. Pass. Yes, I looked up the word all. The Greek word is pass. It includes all of the forms. Let me just go through the breakdown. I don't want to read all the definition. I'm going to come back to that. All means individually, each, every, any, all, the whole, everyone, all things, everything, collectively, some of all types. Listen to me. We're talking about to cast out all devils. He said, I've given authority over all. Every type of demon, every and all, the whole, everyone, everything, collectively, some of all types. No, I don't know if you're hearing me. I know you're not hearing me because you'll be a little more excited. In church, in our mind, and in our thought process, listen to me close. We have ranked demons according to power, and we've decided that some of them we can deal with and the other ones are a little more complicated. We decided that this one, you know, I know I can pray against a cold. But cancer, I got to get the prayer team and everybody together, and we got to pray for months and weeks and days and hours. Am I lying up here?
No.
We need COVID. People die. This one is real. We need to come together. Okay, come together. But if you're coming together and you're all a bunch of weaklings, it still ain't going to mean nothing. It's just going to be a bunch of weak people standing in a circle. They ain't going to get nothing done. He said, hear all by yourself. Now you get three people together who got that all spirit.
Yeah.
Now we're going to change the spirit realm.
Yeah.
Now some stuff going to move. Just get two people that got that all spirit. Like, I don't care if you big demon, little demon, size of my toe, or the size of the Empire State Building. This thing said all. Dunamis and associa over all. All. Can we stop scaling the demons now? Can we stop giving them ranks and powers that affect us? Maybe in the realm of hell, maybe to the world's children, okay. But to us, there is no different. God said it to me like this. You know the part where I said, in the kingdom, there's neither male nor female, Jew or Greek? He said, in the kingdom of hell, there's no difference in power. Small, big, fat, or skinny demon. Authority over all is authority over all. Power over all is power over all. I'm going to let you sit with that a minute. Is this helping somebody's spirit? Who gave them rank and file that we decided in the church to follow? My Savior called me and gave me dunamis and excelsior over all of them. Hidden and exposed. Big and little.
Hallelujah.
So what do we do with this power? What do we do with this authority? Well, we walk through it. I took us on a study of it today. There's more to this that I want to read, but God said to me today, you're not going to get past this. And I don't want to move on to anything else and let your mind drift away from what you just heard. Now you understand why I kept saying, no, I don't want your heads down. This is heavy stuff. This is the meat message. I want you to sit here and just say to the Lord, to yourself as many times as you need to, Lord, I have authority and power over all of them. All things, everything, all things. Just take a moment and talk to God about that. Just speak it to him on your own, in your own voice, in your own language for a minute. Just, I know you hear me speaking, but now I need you to speak it. Begin to look at situations and circumstances in your life right now and begin to say them one by one. I've got authority over you too. I got authority over you too. And not only just authority, I got power. I got power. Unrestricted, miracle, miraculous power over all of it. And then I have been given access codes to operate it. Cast out all devils and to cure diseases. Now, I'm going to wrap it up and bring it home on the finish of this first verse. It caught my attention. It said all devils and to cure diseases, but it didn't say all. And that hit me. Well, I have the power to cure diseases. But all devils. So it that I prayed about, I searched my heart about that. Who wants to know what I received from that? Yes. You're listening?
Yes.
Say this with me. All diseases
concerning me
and mine. But when it comes to other people,
their faith
has to join with mine. That's why I didn't say all diseases. All diseases that try to come to me, yes, that's my power and authority. I have power and authority over myself. I have power and authority over my life. I have power and authority over my finances. I have power and authority over my everything. But when it comes to me praying for you, if I don't get you in agreement with me, I don't have that power. So all diseases concerning you, if you got yourself in a place where you're walking in this dunamis, you're walking in this associa, if you're walking in that, all things concerning you, but other people, you can't determine where somebody else's faith is. And I said, you said all devils, but all devils control all diseases. So if all devils, doesn't it control all diseases? He said, yeah, but you don't have the right to walk up to nobody else and set them free. They don't want to be free. You can't do nothing about that. There's people I know have sicknesses, and they bragged about their sicknesses, and they didn't want to be healed because they were saying, I'm suffering for the glory of God, and you couldn't get them healed if you wanted to. It was their pets, their babies. My arthritis mess with me every morning, and they saying my, too, claiming it. Intimate relationship, yada, with their diseases. Don't you dare tell me I can be healed. They get offended. The Lord wanted me healed. Woo! Go on and die. Well, soon as sickness is usually, if you don't deal with them, that's where it's taking you. You know, that's Satan ain't coming just to make you sick. He wants you dead. He didn't say he come to make sick and destroy. He said he come kill. Okay? He comes to destroy. He ain't coming just to inflict you. One thing or one affliction from the enemy is to get you to the place. So I saw that. cast out all devils and cure diseases. Let me see if I'm wrong. Let's see if I'm wrong. Let's see if it stands the test of the Bible. It's a guy that I know and love, based my life on him and his teachings and everything he does. He went home to visit some people, and he could do no mighty works there. Because they said, isn't this, don't we know his mother Mary, and doesn't his brothers and sisters live with us? And the disease healer himself couldn't do it because they looked at him as, we know who you are. No, here's a message here. And I'm praying to say this today, but it came up, so here we go. You wasting your time on your family. There's a world out there that will receive from you and get healed and be delivered immediately, that will receive from you when your family looking at you. I remember you ain't had no money. And I remember then and then. And aren't you the same one that used to eat up all my food? And you can't do squat for them. But Jesus went to everybody else's town. They chased him around for the healing. Ask for God to put somebody else on your family. And find out where you belong. Amen. Find out who you're supposed to go to.
Amen. Amen.
All devils, but diseases without all. And that hit me. I'm one of the God, I've been praying for this family member, that family member. And God, and it was something very specific I was praying about last night about that. And God said to me, maybe you need to put that on somebody else and you need to go and heal somebody else's family. I know that speaks to you, Lindsay.
Yes, sir.
Stick somebody else on them. Move on with your life. Go find out that what that family that wants what you have.
Amen.
The word before I wrap up that I want to carry on is, he said to cure. And the word cure is the word, which I liked, therapeuro, which is where we get the word therapy. So the cure is therapy, to heal, to restore to health, to serve and to do service. So therapy, to heal, to restore to health, that's the cure. Spiritual, therapy. You catch that?
Yeah.
And watch this. So he said to cure, or to be the therapy, or the remedy. Come on. What do you think of that miraculous power he gave you in the beginning was? That and then that authority, what do you think that's for? Isn't that what he did?
Yes.
And the works that I do? Come on now. And greater. I endowed you with power and authority to be the therapy or the medicine to those who I send you to. I said, God, is that why there's times I prayed for people and they didn't get healed? He said, yeah, because I didn't send you to them. Why are you staying there trying to get them right? There's people out there that I want you to go to that's dying. So you're curing diseases. Uncertain infirmities, maladies, really figuratively, or moral disability, Because sometimes you got to help people through a moral dilemma before you can get them out of a spiritual dilemma. Stay with me. Infirmity, disease, sickness. So this is the word that hit me. I probably heard it before, but never really caught it. Therapy. The cure. Therapy to disease. And it hit me this way, and I never thought of it. Dis-ease. Dis, it's a negative of or a subtract of, ease. That means to me, there should be no complication. Dis-ease is the lack of ease. Well, you know, it's going to be tough sometime. You can speak that if you want. I'm the therapy to dis-ease. We're the therapy to complication. Physical, mental, financial, emotional, we are the therapy to the lack of ease. Oh, you didn't catch that yet. You're starting to get it. Say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Because my yoke is
easy. Hallelujah.
And anything opposite of easy is dis-ease.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Isn't that what diseases do to you? They bring dis-ease to your body. They make you feel ill. They make you feel weak. They take away your strength. You got to go get punctured and needles and cuts and operations. And then you got to heal and limp around and be in a wheelchair. That ain't ease. I'm finding some stuff. So yeah, Rhonda, I think you're spot on. We're bringing it home. I want you to go running out these doors one of these weeks, stopping cars in the street and flipping them over and healing people, you know. Snatching walkers for people on the bus. Get up and walk.
Amen.
This is our time, saints. I love you, Jeff. Jeff just sitting there looking at me so proud. Man, I'm ready. And if you're not, get ready.
Amen.
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 Amen.